Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's news. I'm your host, Larry Swigart. Remember, what I do here is I take my daily news column, today's news on uncoverdc.com, and I kind of give you a recap and a summary and a little more analysis of what's going on in the world. So if you need to find the links, you want to find the stories, go to today's news at uncoverdc.com. And I will mention that we didn't do this last week because of Thanksgiving, but I was on Steve Bannon's War Room on Thanksgiving Day for 2 full hours. And we talked about my book, A Patriot's History of the United States, for almost the first hour. And the second hour, we talked about the origins of Thanksgiving. So you can go on Rumble and find that whole show there. And we'll be talking toward the end about some of the giveaways that we did there. So anyway, come back and we'll start the news in a minute.
Tired of being surveilled and tracked by the wireless phone companies and a rogue government? Get off the surveillance grid by turning to Volta Wireless. By plugging the Volta SIM card into your phone, you become hidden from the spy networks of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and other carriers, while maintaining your full ability to place and receive phone calls and SMS texts. Go to VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV to save big on your first month. You get free VPN services included, plus a private messenger that's encrypted, as well as another Volta private phone number that can coexist with your current number. Learn more at VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV for major savings. It works with both iPhones and Android phones across 200 plus countries. Volta Wireless is the official wireless privacy sponsor of Brighteon.tv.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's news. I'm your host, Larry Swigart. And again, remember, these are from the stories on today's news at uncoverdc.com, where Monday through Friday, I do a daily 20 to 30 news item recap of the day's news. And I try to find stuff that's not just boring, same old, this poll or that poll. But anyway, so that's where you can find the full stories. Let's get started. Well, in Arizona, it's really all over, but the crime, it looks like the election of the Hobbit, Katie Hobbs, is going to be certified, and Carrie Lake, Abe Hamada, others cannot file any kind of a suit contesting the results until after it's been certified. So that's kind of where we are with that. Meanwhile, we're coming up on a Tuesday runoff between Herschel Walker and the Warlock, Reverend Warnock, and the polling is all over the place. Some have Walker up by a couple, some have Warlock up by a couple. I'm not too optimistic here. The early voting I've seen does not seem to favor Walker, and of course the Democrats cheat, So I think that you're probably going to look at Warlock holding his seat there. There are some who claim that this seat would be a really significant shift, and in some ways it might be. But what you're still looking at here is two people are going to really control the Senate, and that would be Joe Manchin, Manchin on a Hill, as I call him, and Kyrsten Sinema, or Enema, as I call her. And these two Democrats are really going to control the narrative, even if Warlock wins, because you would have just a one seat difference there, 51-49. And so one or both of those people could tie up legislation. And they've both shown that they are willing to do that if, in fact, what is on the table kind of runs counter to their own political interests. So I'm not so sure that's such a big deal. In the House, on the House side, the Republicans have said they are going to reinvestigate January 6th from a different perspective. That is Patriot Day, which means they're going to start investigating the investigators, which is what needs to happen. Now, at first, the Democrats were not going to release all of the evidence from Patriot's Day. They're going to try to do selective drops. And now it appears they're saying, oh, we're going to go ahead and dump everything. And it's also interesting, we had a story this week where they're trying to blame Liz Clusterbaum Cheney for focusing, quote, too much on Trump. Well, folks, that was the whole purpose of this committee from the get-go, was to get Trump. That was the only purpose for this committee. And because they didn't have any legislation that for 2 years they knew anybody would like. So they had to do something for 2 years, and all they could do is investigate Trump. So we'll see where this goes. There's still a little struggle in the House over the Speaker of the House position. Apparently McCarthy does not have the votes to be a reelected Speaker yet. Andy Biggs, my congressman here in Arizona, is challenging him. Here's the deal, folks. I know it's not going to be what you want to hear. This will not be decided on the basis of ideology, on pro-Trump, anti-Trump, on conservative values, on anything like that. It's going to be very bare knuckles, old-fashioned, what'll you give me? My name is Jimmy, what'll you give me? And it'll be a question of who gets what committees, who gets what kind of favorable positions within the House. That's what's going to decide who ends up as Speaker, I think. So keep your eye on that. Meanwhile, there was, of course, this infamous dinner between Trump and Kanye and Nick Fuentes. This Fuentes guy has been all over the map. He's kind of a grifter. He started kind of in the quasi-conservative movement, then he became a white nationalist, odd for a Hispanic. And he's just kind of moved to wherever he could find his level of interest within the community. It's kind of ended up in this anti-Semitic position. I've heard him talk about the Holocaust in terms of, quote, baking cookies and how that was impossible to bake so many cookies. The guy's a total nut job. The real question here is what's going on with Kanye? And I like Kanye, but I think he's got real mental problems. And I think that I don't think he is malicious, but I think that he's either off his meds or has now transcended his meds and needs more help. I wish someone loved him enough to get him the attention he needs. Thrown into this whole mix, you have Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo was a big deal 4 years ago. He was given a huge contract by the Mercer family to set up dangerous books, dangerous business operations. That was the name of the company. And he was supposed to be out there kind of bringing in younger people because he was this young kind of hot gay guy who was out there who had a real following. Well, he melted down. He was never cut out for business at all. And So he's trying to make something of a comeback. And he let out after this dinner that he was the one who staged this meeting to, quote, get Trump. Now, by get Trump, what Milo means is he likes Trump. I heard him on Tim Pool's show talking about how Trump is the only one who can win in 2024. But when he says get Trump, he meant he's trying to force Trump into accepting the kinds of advisors that Milo wants him to have, namely Milo. Now, you can't imagine two more, shall we say, unorthodox advisors than Milo and Kanye. And then Kanye went on Alex Jones's show, which in itself is okay. And he not only was acting bizarrely, but he was talking about, well, you know, there were some good things about Hitler. He was saying just totally off the wall stuff. And again, it's clear this guy needs some medical help. He isn't where he was several years ago. And he needs to have some attention, as we say. All right. Does all this hurt Trump? No. I mean, you can go back to the McCain comment about, I prefer the ones who didn't get captured, that kind of thing. It's not something that's going to stick to Trump. It's just one more effort by the real never Trumpers and by the corporatist wing of the GOP to try and push DeSantis to the front and push Trump out before there is ever an election. Well, once you get the voters voting, Trump is going to win, and he's going to win easily. Another poll came out this week where he was up by 30 points, 40 points, just amazing levels over DeSantis. So this is not going to hurt Trump. And remember, throughout all of this, Barack Obama, Zero, and the Rutabaga have had their own genuine racism problems with this guy, Jeremiah Wright. Remember this guy? When the chickens come home to roost. The guy's a total anti-Semite. And the Klansman, Robert Burt, who was a genuine KKK member. And these guys embrace him. So, no, I don't think this is going to hurt Trump. It was Trump trying to be friendly and loyal. And this is something we need a lot more of in politics. I keep seeing these people, we don't owe Trump anything. Well, you kind of do. Just in taking us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Paris Accords, just those two things saved America, all right? So yeah, we do kind of owe Trump a lot. If those two things had gone through under a Mitt Romney or a Scott Walker, or whoever else, Jeb Bush, anybody else who would have gone up there, we would today be in the Paris Accords. We would today be in the TPP, and our economy would be in even worse shape than it is now. Now, the most important political news, I think, of the week came out in a new analysis of Pennsylvania that showed that the Wizard of Oz, Mehmet Oz, got 9 points fewer white evangelicals than Trump did in 2020. That's a big, big gap, and it's critical. And so it goes back to my discussion 2 weeks ago before our Thanksgiving break of who is the Trump voter. And so I want to reference two books here. I think these are very important books, and they've done analysis on in 2016 who was the Trump voter. And the first of these is called Bellwether Blues by John Jakubowski, and the second is called The Great Revolt by Selena Zito and who's her co-author, Brad Todd. And this ties in with an article I had called The GOP's Geography Problem, which is essentially that the Republicans are doing really, really well in very red areas. And they are doing very well with Hispanics, almost to the point of, not quite yet, but almost to getting a majority, and doing better with Black men. The problem is that these very blue areas where they are improving are still deep blue. And so they aren't at the tipping point yet. But the areas where they are losing in the suburbs are the pinkish areas. And thus, they only won, you know, a dozen seats when they should have won 30 or 40 and should have won a bunch of Senate seats. And to me, the real geography problem is for the Democrats long term. Now, short term, Republicans are going to have an issue in some of these districts until the Hispanic votes flips completely and the black votes come along substantially. But what these two books, Bellwether Blues and Great Revolt, show, and this is borne out in all sorts of other evidence, the Trump voters from 2016 and 2020 are not Republicans. In fact, they don't like Republicans at all. They hate Republicans. They hate Democrats. They don't think the system works. They don't trust the system at all. They trust Trump. And so what you're going to have with a nominee such as a DeSantis, if that's the case, you will pick up some of the suburban votes, but not nearly enough to offset the millions, the massive number you're going to lose in the industrial blue-collar areas of Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. And so Bellwether Blues looked at a lot of these Obama-Trump counties from 2016 and showed why those flipped. And Great Revolt looked at Pennsylvania, same thing. Why did these flip? And your answer there is nobody on the political scene outside of Donald Trump who will appeal to those voters. And in total, there's far more of them than there are of gettable suburban voters. So the GOP is going to have a real choice here. Is it going to be America first? And so there was another story out there that was very interesting that said that 46% of Republicans and 32% of Democrats favor greater isolationism. That is, they oppose the war in Ukraine, American involvement in Ukraine. And so far, nobody except Trump is holding that position. DeSantis has been a very pro-Uke guy. Also, these polls are showing that majorities in both parties say that affirmative action admission policies are wrong and they should be ended. And I think the court is going to end those fairly soon. So these are very interesting points when you look at who's going to be running in 2024 and who has what kind of support. In semi-political news, we have Elon Musk out there and the new boss of Twitter. And Musk, in addition to firing a whole bunch of useless toadstools that worked at Twitter, has promised to reinstate some 62,000 suspended accounts. Come on, Elon. I'm one of them. Come on, man. And speaking of Twitter, it has just rolled back its China virus misinformation policies, which basically supported lies. And of course, we won't go into this a lot today, but the evidence just keeps rolling out. We have this new movie, for example, Died Suddenly. The evidence just keeps rolling out that the vaxes were full of poison, that they basically trigger all sorts of blood clots and heart disease. And we're losing so many young people to heart disease and heart attacks and strokes due to these vaxes. A totally bizarre event occurred after Rutabaga, and Joe Biden, the Rutabaga, left Nantucket, and a whole bunch of the Secret Service cars burst into flames. Now, I've got to ask, were they vaxxed? Then we have the fine state of California, which has released thousands of pedophiles from prison. No problem there, right? While in Schenectady, New York, we had a story that only 4% of black students and no eighth graders could pass the state's grade tests for math. But, you know, let's have a lot more woke indoctrination about transoids and other stuff. And how's this for tolerance? A survey of some 65 academic institutions, departments, found that 33% of them lacked a single Republican, not one. It wasn't they weren't balanced, that they didn't even have one Republican on the staff. So when you consider that the Republicans they did have are probably more rhino-ish, they probably don't have a single conservative voice anywhere in the school. In economic news, private hiring was just 127,000 last month. Remember, we need to add about 450,000 jobs a month to have a growing economy. So I'd say we're a little bit short, although the Rutabaga insists that the economy's fine, there's no recession here. Meanwhile, pending home sales fell for the fifth straight month, and oil executives told Rutabaga that he, quote, tells a completely inaccurate, flat-out lie, quote, unquote, about American energy production. I found this story really interesting. Two new alien minerals, never before seen, apparently crashed into Somalia in 2020. Wait, 2020. Were these minerals called fragilum and stelium? Asking for a friend. Sprout Social is abandoning downtown Chicago, or as I like to call it, Benghazi by the lake, and have offered up to half of its office space for lease. So again, the companies are bailing on good old Benghazi by the lake. AMC Networks announced significant layoffs, as did CNN. One of those laid off at Communist News Network, or CNN, was our old pal, the Schliz, Chris Salissa. Yay. And one of the strangest business stories of the week was this ad from Balenciaga featuring kids in bondage outfits. Now, it's learned that the artists involved had, quote, art featuring castrated toddlers. These are sick, sick people. Some people who've been associated with Balenciaga, such as the Kardashians, have rightly denounced this, but others have stayed with Balenciaga, and so it just kind of shows you where the culture is going long term. New Kabul, New York City, is now the most expensive city in the entire world, and it is one of the most dangerous cities in the country to boot. Though I have to say, the last 2 weeks, we haven't had any new subway deaths where people have been pushed off subway platforms onto trains, right? But, you know, give them time. Give them time. The New Kabul residents are hard at work. I saw where one councilman, probably not a Democrat, said that the people of New York City deserve the spike in violence, which is up 27%. They deserve it because of the way they voted. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, if people keep electing these schnozdozzlers, these incredible clutch daggers that are just insane, you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Treasury Secretary Janet Screamin' and Yellen is copying our old pal, President Jesus Carter. Remember him, good old pious Jesus Carter, when he said that when we had inflation and when we had a recession, wow, it was your fault. It's all your fault. Remember, this was the famous Malaise speech. He never used the word malaise in the speech. The speech was actually called a crisis of confidence. But old Jesus Carter came on TV and basically blamed Americans for his policies, for his bad policies that were destroying the country, which is, of course, why he lost in 1980 to President Ronald Reagan. So we have the government unsure here of how to spin the whole inflation story. Biden tried to say, the Rutabaga tried to say that there was no inflation for a while. And now they've come around to saying, well, there was inflation, but it's going down, but there's no recession. And now they're saying, well, you know, there's a recession, but it's your fault. You guys are out there consuming too much. Remember that there's too much consuming going on out there. And you crazy people got to scale it back for Christmas. You know, think rocks, you know, think lumps of coal in the stocking, right? Start thinking more in terms of a hard candy Christmas, because that's where they want you to be. All right, When we come back, we're going to take a look at some interesting international news. I've got some really interesting entertainment news. And if we have time, I have a very interesting, I think you'll find it interesting, look at how Americans talk from a column I did on uncoverdc.com this week called American Exceptionalism, America Talking. And I think you'll find Americans' speech habits pretty interesting. So stay with us when we come back with the next segment of this week's news. Again, you can find all these stories at uncoverdc.com, all the links and all the full stories. So come back with us right after this break, and I'll see you in a minute.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. Brighteonstore.com.
At the Brighteon Store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's news. Again, all stories, all links, anything I refer to here can be found at uncoverdc.com on my Today's News Stories 5 days a week, or you'll find me 5 days a week. All right, let's take a look at some international news. France has refired an old coal plant for warmth. They're starting to get cold over there in Europe. And the UK's national grid is telling people to prepare for energy rationing. And while this is going on, the European inflation has hit the second highest rate ever. All of this is due to the Ukraine war. All of this is due to their foolish reliance on Russian natural gas and Russian energy on the one hand. And on the other hand, it's due to their incredibly stupid green policies, which green cannot power the world. I don't know if you guys are Yellowstone fans, but there was a fantastic scene in last week's Yellowstone where John Dutton, Kevin Costner's character, John Dutton is meeting with his policy advisors, and he didn't even know he had policy advisors. He said, "Tell me what my policies are," right? He's being sarcastic. And they say, "Well, this first one is a plan to set aside 7,000 acres for solar panels." And he just kind of grunts at that. And the second one here, this says we're going to deny oil leases. And the guy says, "Yes, sir, that's because the sage grouse is endangered by these leases. And Dutton looks at him and goes, but in order to build the solar panels on 7,000 acres, you're going to have to clear sagebrush, right? I go, well, yes, sir. He goes, do you understand that sage grouse live in sagebrush? I mean, the whole point was the whole green program is goofy. But they continue. The Dutch have demanded, for example, compulsory purchase of 3,000 farms to comply with green weenie measures. So they're still keeping up. And then you have China's crackdown going on with anti-COVID protesters. It's difficult to know what's happening there because they censor so much and you're getting bits and pieces out in small snippets from cell phones and stuff like that. And folks, I gotta warn you about two things. First of all, China's a big country. If you see 10,000 people protesting, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. You could have 10 million people protesting, and it's still a drop in the bucket. You know, the country's 2 billion people. So you can't get excited about scenes of a few thousand protesters. That's number one. And number two, as I'm sure you know, neither they nor the Euros are armed. Not all those French yellow vests, not all the Dutch farmers, not all the Chinese COVID protesters, none of them are armed. And so these protests are not going to go very far. And until you have policymakers actually concerned about what mobs might do, they're not going to change at all. So don't get too excited about that. But it is worth keeping our eye on. Brazil has indicated that it is authorized Bitcoin to be used in payment of taxes. And that's very important. You know, in the American Civil War, one reason the Union did not have the same kind of hyperinflation that the Confederates did was that the Union made its money, greenbacks, remember the greenbacks, they look kind of like modern day dollars, legal for payment of taxes. The Confederates never made Confederate money legal to pay your taxes in. In other words, Confederate money never had any value, whereas Union money at least had the value that you can pay your taxes in. So this is a very important thing that Brazil is doing in saying, hey, at least you can pay your taxes in Bitcoin. So it will always have some value there. All right. In entertainment news, first, we had the Apple Twitter dust up, where it was rumored that Apple was so offended with Elon Musk that it was going to drop Twitter from its app store. And Musk and Tim Cook met. And if there ever was a problem, they hashed it out. I'm not sure there ever was a problem. I think that they just, there was a misunderstanding. But at any rate, Twitter is still going to be featured on the Apple App Store. Now, this supposedly was entertainment. the U.S. beat Iran 1-0 in a soccer match. And it was interesting in that the winning goal was scored by a Christian, a guy named Christian Pulitis. And it was, as I said, 1-0. And excuse me, I think I need a nap. I'm sorry, I can't get into soccer. And there was a big brouhaha about the U.S. and England soccer game, a 0-0 tie. Wow. Oh, I can't believe, I'm so excited. Anyway, the 0-0 tie there between the U.S. and England, and it had something like 10 million viewers. Oh, 10 million viewers. Well, folks, the Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Thanksgiving Day football game had 25 plus million viewers. It set a record. So, you know, now that's real football. The woke homosexual Disney movie, Strange World, has absolutely crashed. I mean, this is astounding. Now for a $147 to $150 million loss. A loss. And this comes on top of the terrible performance of the also woke movie Lightyear, on top of the poor performance of She-Hulk from the Marvel Comics universe, on top of the terrible performance of Boba Fett and Andor. Now, I hate to see this with Andor because I've been watching that series. I think it's a pretty good series. And Critical Drinker agrees with me. He gave it a pretty good review. But nevertheless, the fact is the new Marvel Comics universe shows, except for Wakanda Forever, that's doing all right. But other than that, they're all bombing and bombing big. I mean, really taking chunks of money down at the time. And so Bob Iger, as you know, was brought back to head Disney. Folks, it was Bob Iger that greenlit many of these projects in his first time around. And Chapek and the other guy who served, I think, about a year as president, those two guys obviously didn't do a good job. But nevertheless, all of the failure can't be blamed on them. No one deserves the blame for the destruction of the Star Wars series more than Kathleen Kennedy. She took an absolutely perfect series and just destroyed it in a period of about 5 or 6 years. And that goes for most of the ongoing streaming series. As I say, though, Andor, I think, is pretty good. My guess is, what are they going to do? Well, Christopher Rufo, who follows the woke stuff, R-U-F-O, he said he thought that they were backing off this, that Iger was stepping away. But another story I had in this week's news suggests that Iger is doubling down on this, and this came from Yellow Flash. And so I think it's going to take billions of dollars in losses for Disney to even attempt to right the ship, because they're absolutely convinced that this woke stuff is a way to go. And you stupid people, if you don't accept homosexuality in every single movie, you're bigots and you need to be punished. We'll see, but I don't think Iger is going to turn anything around. Now, I did a little piece that I think you're going to find interesting in UncoverDC.com this week, called American Exceptionalism, America Talk. And this was a takeoff on my time with Steve Bannon on Thanksgiving Day, where we talked about Thanksgiving and American exceptionalism. So let me just real briefly review that, and then I will talk about some of these issues of American language and speech. So American exceptionalism is based on what Mike Allen and Dave Doherty and I call the four pillars of American exceptionalism. First, a Christian, mostly Protestant religious tradition, which the Pilgrims brought over. Now, Jamestown. Jamestown is not exceptionalism. Plymouth is. Because the Pilgrims brought over a Protestant religion, not so much important for reasons of theology, but important because of structure. The Pilgrims and the Puritans in England believed in a congregational structure that was bottom up in church governance. This was unique in the whole history of the world. No other nation has this to this day from its origins. Some have adopted it later, like parts of Holland, for example. But the reason it's significant is that church governance was bottom up, in contrast to the Roman Catholic Church top down, Greek Orthodox Church top down, Islam top down. So this is very important. The second pillar was common law. And common law came over from the Germans to England, then to America. And it said basically that God puts the law in the hearts of the people. This is found in two separate places, and one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, where it says God has written the law in your hearts. And that the people elect or select leaders who will carry out that that law. So again, it's bottom up. So right there in the first two pillars, you have two bottom up structures that do not exist anywhere else in the world. England had common law, but in governing her colonies. She treated them as what? Dominions. And dominions meant it was top down. And this, as I've explained before, is why Australia and Canada had such vicious lockdowns, because they are democracies, but they do not have bottom-up governance with common law. The third pillar was private property with written titles and deeds. And that was ensconced in our land ordinance of 1785, very important, gave people private property for about $1.25 an acre. And then the last one was a free market economy. And no other nation in the world has these four elements that we call the four pillars of American exceptionalism. So I thought it would be interesting to look at another aspect of American exceptionalism, which was how we speak. Now, our founders believed very much in speaking the King's English. They had read all the classics over the last 1,000 years, the great works of the last 1,000 years. They knew the King's English. And so when you read, when in the course of human events, or we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, ensure establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. That's perfect. I mean, that's amazing writing. Or think of Abraham Lincoln, when he says 87 years ago, as opposed to, he could have just said 87 years ago, but it doesn't sound as good as 87. So the fact is that while Americans knew correct and incorrect diction, speech and writing, we above all have always been a kind of practical people. And so as such, we adapted and adopted language of everybody we came in contact with. It wasn't something to be ashamed of, it was something that Americans relished. So for example, we embrace words such as cocktail, 1806, barroom, 1807, mint julep, 1809. We borrowed from the Dutch the word boss, and from the French Canadians, depot, rapids, prairie, shanty, cash, and crevasse. Then there were the Spanish words such as ranch and mustang, which we got in 1808, sombrero, 1823, patio, 1827, corral, 1829, and lasso, 1831. Americans developed everyday use for out-of-date English words such as obligate, and we modified other foreign words such as the German dumb, D-U-M-M, to be dumb, D-U-M-B, which of course Gallagher, the late Gallagher, just died a couple of weeks ago, had this great routine on such things as D-U-M-B, dumb, so T-O-M-B, C-O-M-B, come, right? No, comb, so T-O-M-B, tome, right? No, tomb, and he goes on and on about all of these words that sound alike but are spelled differently. And there's some sort of word for that. I forgot what it was. So we took from Germanic dumb, which became dumb, which we meant stupid or unable to speak. We took caucus and mass meeting from slaves. We made up a lot of our own words on the plains, like lot. Instead of gambling, it means a parcel of land. Section, quarter. Squatter, buckshot. We stole from the Indians words like travois, squaw, papoose, or even applied words to the Indians like redskins. When not making up words or aggrandizing them, Americans developed euphemisms such as help instead of a servant, right? We have help, we don't have servants. Passed away instead of died. Killing time to mean doing nothing. Hot seat for being in trouble. Cool your heels for waiting. Bone cracker for a chiropractor. Or to this day in the South, people will use the phrase, bless your heart, by which they mean exactly the opposite. They mean screw you, but they all bless your heart, right? Miners and trappers also sent in a plethora of new words such as logjam, rattlesnake, overalls, groundhog, backtrack, parlay, portage, war party, raccoon, huckleberry, and moose. We were never averse to changing original words. Americans assign new words to English words such as snag, stone, suit, brand, bluff, fix, bump, hump, knob, and settlement. They invented what was thought to be an English term. Keep a stiff upper lip is an American term invented in 1815. Fly off the handle, 1825. Get religion, 1826. Knock down, drag out, 1827. In cahoots, 1829. And barking up the wrong tree, 1833. Americans say there were no two ways about it, right? Or that you're trying to get the hang of something. Or that we had a campfire meeting. Americans say, we found Jesus. We nailed it. We made a killing. Or we went off road. Now, of course, George Carlin, the great comedian, captured the ultimate elements of American idioms with his famous I'm a Modern Man routine. I won't go through all of it here, but some of it is worth recounting, where he noted that he was smoke-free, a postmodern deconstructionist who was anatomically, ecologically, and politically incorrect, who was uplinked, downloaded, who knew the downside of upgrading could give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond, a warm-hearted, cool customer, and a database in ether space. He was hyperactive and radioactive, ahead of the curve, behind the eight ball, dodging a bullet, pushing the envelope, on task, on point, and runs victory laps. A slam dunk rainmaker and a raging workaholic out of rehab in denial. He had a personal trainer and a personal agenda who was wireless and alpha male on beta blockers. Fast acting, hands-on, knee-jerk, post-traumatic head case. Carlin had a love child that sent him hate mail, read junk mail, ate junk food, bought junk bonds, and had a revenue stream with its own cash flow. He was user-friendly but lactose intolerant, had software on his hard drive, ate fast food in the slow lane. He was pre-screened, double-wrapped, had an unlimited broadband capacity, a real deal who takes it slow, goes with the flow, rides with the tide, keeps the pedal to the metal, doesn't snooze so he doesn't lose, and above all, was hanging tough. In light of that, I have created a kind of set of E.E. Cummings deliberate Schweikartisms, like douche nozzle, slither chicken, spooge muffin, clack dagger, billy buffer, anal pimple, rectal wart, slovenistically, glonagger, snot dragon, clatch batcher, snack daggler, porta puppy, slime guzzler, toad sprocket, cluster bomblet, and pidge pigler. And those are just a few of the ones that I developed this morning. Now, I want you to take a look at my latest book, if you haven't already, Dragon Slayers, Six Presidents and Their War with the Swamp. I kind of go through the origins of the deep state and the swamp. I also would like you, if you have a chance, to go over to wildworldofhistory.com. And over there, you're going to find that I have a full U.S. and world history curriculum for high schoolers with teacher's guides, student guides, tests, a built-in AP track, and, of course, me teaching all units in high production video. And you'll notice there it goes, right there on the right, we have a Black Friday offer that just killed it on the Bannon Show, which was five of my best books autographed and shipped for $114. And that is Patriots History of the United States, The Patriots History Reader, Seven Events That Made America, 48 Liberal Lies About American History, and Reagan, the American President, all autographed and shipped for $114. We also have a package that includes both the books Patriots History and the Reader and Patriots History of the Modern World, both volumes, and my curriculum for just, I think it's $249. So check us out on the web if you've got a homeschooler or if you are an educator, you just want to use the videos in your classes. They're fantastic. Columbus to Trump. You're going to love it. So once again, if you heard a story like, go to my Today's News at uncoverdc.com, where 5 days a week I give you Today's News. You can catch me on the Wild World of History on Wednesday night, where I'll be doing Pearl Harbor on December 7th. And I will see you guys back here next week.